go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio program called Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie, we're very excited to be with you today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus himself, Go Rebuild My Church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today. Leslie and I have recently launched a lay apostolate called Encounter Jesus Discipleship Ministries. You can learn more about us and our passion for renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 12 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And hopefully, through the ministry of this radio program, we can provide pathways for you as individuals as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we've initiated a series that we believe is critical to rebuilding and renewing the American Catholic Church. Our series is The Call to Return to Biblical Christianity. For the last 6 weeks, we've been on an exciting journey into the Acts of the Apostles, where we are rediscovering the characteristics that made the early Christians such a powerful force. This call is a return to biblical Christianity, and it's challenging each of us to consider how these characteristics can be implemented into our own lives, how we can live them in our families, at the parish level, and yes, even at the national level.
Mm-hmm.
So let me briefly go over some of the highlights from these past 6 weeks. We've learned how the Holy Spirit is the overarching theme in the Acts of the Apostles. We've discovered the four spiritual disciplines or building blocks that were fundamental to the formation of the early church after Pentecost and how they're critical to the rebuilding of parishes today.
Mm-hmm.
We also spent two whole programs on small groups, and we learned how the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, led the new believers into this new structure. And then finally, last week, we discovered that as the early Christians practiced these spiritual disciplines in group settings, they produced a new society which ultimately changed the world. So, Peter, can you help us better understand what you mean when you say they started a new society?
Well,
that's a pretty poignant word.
Yes, it is. And it, I think also synonymous with that, Leslie, was when John Paul said in his document Missio, or the mission of the church, Missio Redemptoris, he said that these renewal movements would create a new civilization of love. And I kind of equate that with a new society. And in the Acts of the Apostles that we're talking about, at the end of chapter 2, we see this new society emerging because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? The four disciplines that we talked about, and we keep repeating these, but they are so critical. They devoted themselves continually. It says in the Greek language, it's the present tense. That means they just didn't do it once and then go home, but they were doing this daily, practicing and listening to the apostles' teaching, number one. The fellowship, number two, the breaking of bread, that the church fathers agree that that was, in this context, the Eucharist partaking of, and finally, the prayers practiced, both liturgical and private, constantly among these new believers in this structure. And they could practice also what we've talked about before, the last two broadcasts, the 59 one another verses. In this new society, a kingdom of God society, if you will, we could think of it as, will not emerge in our individual's lives, bringing it back home to us, our family lives and parish life, I believe, and in the American church at large, randomly or haphazardly. In other words, we can't just hope for this, but we need to begin to look at modeling, yet in a 21st century context, what was going on in Acts chapter 1 and 2.
We've also used the word intentional. We have to be intentional about these things.
Yeah, intentionality is a great word. I know Sherry Waddell used that and kind of brought that word to our glossary in the last decade, intentionality, to become disciples and missionary disciples. So anyways, back to these four dynamics that produced this new society, Leslie, the new believers produced these four things, right? Number one, the power of God was on the believers. Number two, generosity, radical generosity became a hallmark of these new believers. Thirdly, the scripture says there was joy and praise, table fellowship and favor marked all their activities day after day. And then finally, we really like this one, the capstone, explosive evangelization took place in this new society.
Well, last week we discussed or focused on how the power of God was working through the apostles in this new society, mm-hmm. and how many signs and wonders were taking place. We also discovered that signs and wonders did not cease with the death of the apostles, but they continued not only through the New Testament, but also well into the early church and throughout the history of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And we actually focused on the sacrament of the anointing of the sick,
right.
And we shared a couple of testimonies about times where we would want to just be open to offer this sacrament to individuals. And in one situation, one of our friend's daughters, who had a serious case of thrombosis, mm-hmm. received the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And shortly thereafter, when she went back to the doctor and had her x-rays, they found out that the blood clots had dissolved.
And that's when after they had been trying to get rid of these for several months,
right.
And it was very serious.
Right.
So anyways, Leslie, as we're coming to, as we look at signs and wonders, we want to look at the fact that these happened throughout church history at the distinct periods of the church. And there's some summary statements I'd like to make concerning the recording of these signs and wonders in the church as we kind of like group them together throughout the history of the Catholic Church. Number one, they continued through each of the epochs or eras of the church throughout history. Secondly, when those in authority, and this is interesting, acknowledge the validity of the gifts, these gifts, they flourished. In other words, like the authorities, when they recognized this, it seems like during that period of time, there were more signs and wonders happening. The power of signs and wonders seemed to flourish among the humble and lowly, and less among those higher status in the culture. But there's exceptions to this as well, as we'll talk about. Oftentimes, ecclesiastic authorities questioned and resisted these supernatural events. We can think of the children of Fatima. We can think of Lourdes as examples of that, right?
That's right.
And finally, major saints and doctors of the church testify to the reality of these signs and wonders taking place throughout church history. Time today, Leslie, doesn't allow for us to mention by name all of these saints, but I think it's worth, just for our listening audience today, as we talk about and review the importance of seeing signs and wonders happening throughout the history of the church, just to put out kind of a list of people that you can reference on yourself and look at their writings and learn from them. Among the apostolic fathers, that's the early fathers that had many believe that the apostles themselves as their disciples, Ignatius, Polycarp, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, during the patristic period, which is from 100 to 800 AD, there was St. Anthony of Egypt, Basil the Great. There were miracles happening throughout all of this period of time with these figures in church history.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we will look at the second characteristic that manifested in this new society, the Holy Spirit, and how he created the what was happening in the new society created by the Holy Spirit in the Acts of the Apostles.
Amen.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. We've been discussing how a new society was formed when the church was born at Pentecost, and it was marked by four distinct dynamics that made the new believers different from the culture that surrounded them. In our last segment, we talked about how the power of God was upon the believers, and Peter shared with us about how signs and wonders and miracles were happening all throughout the history of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. But Peter, what about the modern age?
Well, you know, the modern age is a time when, yes, signs and wonders are still happening in the church. And one of my favorite stories, Leslie, is some happenings around St. Padre Pio.
Yes, it's a famous, famous story, but we're going to share it now for our listeners who have not ever heard of this, and it's the story of Padre Pio and the bomber pilots, and it's a great example of a modern-day miracle. So during World War II, there were many bomber pilots from various nationalities and religious backgrounds, and they had to undertake bombing missions in Italy, and whenever they approached a particular region, they reported seeing in the sky a friar who was stretching out his wounded hands, preventing them from dropping their bombs. Yep. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Almost all the surrounding areas were subjected to repeated bombardment. However, in this one particular region, not one bomb fell. Well, this was directly witnessed by a general of the United Air Command, and each time the pilots returned from their missions, they shared that this friar had appeared in the sky and diverted their planes, making them turn back. I still think that's just, I wish I could have been there. The episodes kept recurring,
yep.
So the commanding general finally decided that he was going to intervene personally, and he took command of one of the squadrons of bombers, and they were on a mission to destroy a supply of German war materials that was said to be right in this region. Well, when the squadron returned, this is what they reported. Once again, as they arrived near the target, they saw rising up into the sky the figure of a monk with his hands held high. The bombs dropped all by themselves. They did not trigger the bombs, and the bombs fell in the woods.
Yeah, out in the woods, right.
Yeah, the bombs fell in the woods, and the planes returned from their mission without any intervention on the part of the pilots. So someone at that point told this commanding general that this region was where a priest lived who had the stigmata, and everyone considered this priest to be a saint. So after the war, the general, accompanied by several pilots, mm-hmm. you can actually go online and see a picture of this group.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They arrived at the convent where Padre Pio lived, and as soon as they entered, they were faced with a number of friars, and lo and behold, among them was the one they recognized immediately, the one who had stopped them from bombing, whose face had appeared in the sky.
And what happened to the general after that? He got on his knees and he converted and became a Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a great story. And and again, our purpose here, if you're just joining us, is that we are looking at these new believers in the Acts of the Apostles, and one of the things that marked them was the power of God. And we're showing and sharing from history of the Catholic Church that the power of God is still available to us today.
Well, the next characteristic that we identified in the lifestyle of the new believers is generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So this became a hallmark of the church. So Peter, take us there. What does it mean by generosity? What exactly?
Thanks for all that, Leslie. So this is a word in Catholic thinking that encompasses and characterizes what we see in the lives of these new believers that led to their generosity. And underneath that generosity, Leslie, I think it's the word detachment. detachment.
Well, that's why detachment?
Well, let me say this. Jesus, of course, established this approach in the Gospels as we read the calling of the rich young ruler. And let me read this challenging set of scriptures. Every time I read it, I think to myself, what would I have done if I was the rich young ruler? And the scripture says this in Mark 10:17. And Jesus was setting out on his journey. A man ran up and knelt down to him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said to them, said to Jesus, "Teacher, all of these I've observed from my youth up." And Jesus looked upon him and loved him. I really like that the Holy Spirit wrote that when Jesus looked at him, he was going to give him a strong word, but he loved him. And he said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and follow me." And at that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Well, Peter, I have trouble understanding what detachment actually is and how it relates to us, and actually how does it produce generosity. Could you go into a little bit more detail about that?
Right. I think it's important to understand what we can learn from our Catholic history of spirituality. Detachment means that everything exists is a gift from God. Yet often we can look to the things and the creatures created by God for a satisfaction and fulfillment that only God himself can provide. And I'm taking some of this, Leslie, from a book that's meant a lot to you and me by Dr. Ralph Martin called The Fulfillment of All Desire. In fact, I would really encourage all our listening audience, if you want to take a journey into the deeper life of Catholic spirituality, get Ralph Martin's book called The Fulfillment of All Desire. He goes on to say that when the soul wraps itself around the things and the people of this world looking for satisfaction or fulfillment that only God can give, it produces a distortion. Many spiritual writers call this process of unwinding this possessive, self-centered, clinging, and disordered seeking of things, detachment.
So, Peter, I can see that if you are not walking in a spirituality of detachment, it's hard for you to be generous because you're holding on to people and things. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly what it is. If you're just joining us, everyone, we're talking about a new society that was created in the Acts of the Apostles after Pentecost and after the apostles trained these new believers.
Okay, well, this is a great time for us to take another short break, and when we return, we're going to hear from the saints describing for us the meaning of detachment and how we can model that characteristics we see at the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program called Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are continuing our series, The Call to Rebuild the Church Here in America Through the Restoration of Biblical Christianity. In our last segment, we discussed how the new believers experienced a totally new lifestyle after Pentecost. They became a new society, a kingdom society. And we saw how generosity became a hallmark of these believers. And this generosity was produced from the apostles' teaching about the spirituality of detachment. We know that detachment wasn't just important for the rich young ruler or the saints. Detachment is important for all of us, especially in this day and age when we want to imitate Christ and live by his teachings. Peter, take us now to the wisdom of the saints. What can we learn from them, and how can we practically apply what they have shared with us about detachment?
Right, and I think as we look to the saints, Leslie, we also start with the saints in the scripture, St. Paul. You can trace how detachment grew among the believers. It was first in a radical way there in the Acts of the Apostles, where they even sold their houses and their property and gave it to those who were in need.
Right. They shared with anyone who had a need.
Yeah. And history tells us at that time, there were many, many people that were desperately poor in Jerusalem among the believers. In fact, you even see throughout the scriptures where Paul takes up collections for the saints in Jerusalem, right? In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he gives us a beautiful teaching about giving. And again, to understand biblical giving, we have to understand that the foundation of that is a certain detachment that the Lord wants to work in our life. That's a part of our Catholic spirituality, right?
Right. And of course, St. Francis, Assisi, obviously.
Our patron of our show.
Right. Practiced detachment as well. He left all of his worldly belongings.
Yes, he did.
To
yes, he did.
Minister to the poor.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we look at that, we say, well, I can't do what St. Francis did. I can't give away my shoes and walk barefoot. But that is when we're missing the point, I think, that we're after this detachment foundation in our spirituality. And then the Lord can speak to us what he wants us to do with that detachment. But let's look at a few of the saints, Leslie, and we can really, again, build in our foundations what detachment means. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the new society that was created in the Acts of the Apostles after the Holy Spirit fell. The new believers came forth, and they were trained by the apostles to become a new people that lived a new way of life. So let's look at some saints now. First of all, St. Philip Neri. This is simple, but I think it really connects some dots for us. He said, give me 10 truly detached men, and I will convert the world with them. So I like the connection, Leslie, between detachment and evangelization. Have you ever thought about that before? That
no.
The more we're detached, the more powerful evangelization can become, right?
No, I think that's really a good point.
Yeah, it kind of like deals with that convenience and comfort and personal peace and affluence thing and makes us say we're available to share our faith with others. The second is one of our favorite modern saints, St. Teresa of Calcutta. She said this, God doesn't ask that we succeed in everything, but that we are faithful. However beautiful our work may be, let us not become attached to it. Isn't that interesting? We don't even become attached to the good works that God allows us to create for him. She said, always remain prepared to give it up without losing your peace.
Right. I think a lot of us, our identity and our security is caught up in what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our work. And so we can actually, it's interesting, we can actually become attached to that.
Yeah, exactly. This next quote is by a saint a lot of us have never heard of, Saint Claude de la Colombière. And he said this, if you ever have a fit of sadness or trouble, we all can relate to that, we do that, remember that it is because you are still attached to life or health or some comfort or person or thing that you might ought to forget and despise, that you may desire Jesus Christ only. What a challenge that is.
Right, because Jesus addressed this also. He said, be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
Be anxious for nothing. And he taught us that we should give all of our anxieties to him. Mm-hmm. And when we are anxious and worried, actually, we are demonstrating our attachment, mm-hmm. which is very interesting.
Yes. Now, this next saint, Leslie, that we're familiar with, he's a doctor of the church, St. Francis de Sales. The reason I like St. Francis de Sales' writings is because he really focuses on the laity, and he helps us learn that the spirituality of the Catholic Church is not just for the clergy and the religious, but it's also for the laity. And this is what he said. How are you to meet the swarm of foolish attachments, triflings, and undesirable inclinations which beset you? By turning sharply away and thoroughly renouncing such vanities, flying to the Savior's cross and clasping his crown of thorns to your heart, so these little foxes may not spoil your vines. And that, again, is particularly addressed to us as lay people.
Right. And those little foolish attachments, he points out, can become little foxes which spoil our vines, really end up robbing us of our virtue and our goodness.
One last saint, Les, I'd like to quote for our listening audience today by Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Many, however, give themselves to God, but preserve still in their hearts some attachment to creatures, which prevents them from belonging entirely to God. That kind of convicted me, because I'm really attached to our dog, our little puppy, Rosie, and that kind of got my attention on that one.
Right. I can align with that as well. I'm attached to her too.
So when we have talked of these things, and when we've read the book by Ralph Martin that I referenced, that I recommend to all of our listening audience, The Fulfillment of All Desire, I'd like to pray and ask God to help us with this whole idea of detachment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for each of our journeys that are represented here today. And we ask, O Lord, that you would give us the grace to respond to you, just like you came to the rich young ruler and asked him to sell his possessions and follow you. We know that you're not asking all of us to sell our possessions, but you are asking us to detach from everything that would replace our first love of you. Please send the Holy Spirit to each of our hearts and give us the grace to say yes.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us today as we seek to connect individuals and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And if you would like to hear our past programs, just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and press the big blue button in the top left corner of the webpage and make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye everyone,
and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.